Next up, a book for all you Jayhawk basketball fans. Fog, the Most Influential Man in Basketball, is by award-winning sports writer Scott Morrow Johnson. Scott joins us by telephone from his home in Seattle. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Kay.
You say that James Naismith invented the game of basketball, but it was Fog Allen who brought it to the masses. Talk about the complicated relationship between the father of basketball and the father of basketball coaching.
Yeah, the word that I think both of those men would probably argue about that you used is game. James Naismith saw it as just kind of a pastime. He called it a game, but it was more of just a pastime that people were going to do in gyms, you know, around in physical education class, and kind of a way of staying in shape and maybe bonding and learning life lessons and all that. But Fog Allen came along, and right around the turn of the century, when he was a young man, he started to realize that there could be bigger things out of it. And so he saw this little seed and decided that he wanted to plant it and grow it and turn it into this multi-million dollar business that it's become. So if it was up to James Naismith, then basketball would still be being played in little auditoriums like Springfield, Massachusetts, and we wouldn't know who LeBron James or Michael Jordan or any of those people are. But because of Fog Allen, it kind of grew into what it's become today.
Talk about how that affected their professional and personal relationship.
Well, Fog Allen played for James Naismith for a year at Kansas. And then kind of the end of that year, there was a school down south of you, Baker University down in Baldwin City, that called I think they wrote a letter to James Naismith saying, hey, we want somebody to come coach our basketball team. Do you know anybody who can coach? James Naismith was technically the coach at KU at the time, but he didn't really coach basketball. He pretty much just refereed the games, and he didn't really think that there was a need for a coach for a game like basketball. So he kind of laughingly, you know, tossed the letter aside and told Fog Allen about it. And Fog Allen said, no, I think I can coach the game. And so he went down to Baldwin City and started coaching there, eventually came back to Kansas. And so that he was always kind of Naismith's protege. Right around 1920, when Fog Allen came back as athletic director after leaving the school for about 15 years and trying to osteopathy, and then he coached in Northwest Missouri for a while, he finally came back as AD. And at that time, James Naismith actually voted against him. He didn't want him to be the athletic director because he thought he was too motivated by money. And long story short, their first, you know, 10 years together, they pretty much butted heads about you know, whether basketball and sports in general should be this money-making endeavor or whether it should just be something that's just for the students to kind of do on the side. And then finally they kind of came back together in the 30s when, after Fog Allen got the sport into the Olympics for the first time, he put together a national campaign that raised enough money for Naismith to go and actually be there in attendance. And it was 3 years before Naismith died. So that was kind of that brought them back together. But there was about 15, 20 years there where they were kind of butting heads while they were at KU together.
You just alluded to Fog Allen's his time as an osteopath. He really pioneered the use of sports medicine well before that was a thing.
Yeah, the one thing that was kind of unclear in my research was why he went to osteopath school. You know, the prevailing thought is probably in those days, coaching basketball and coaching sports in general didn't make a lot of money. So maybe when he went to osteopathy school in 1909 at the age of about 23 years old, he might have just been, you know, moving on to another career. Another theory is that maybe he was doing it because he realized that the two things could come together. If nothing else, Fog Allen was a visionary, and so he could see kind of these things that nobody else could see, like basketball becoming a big-time sport and a big-time, you know, a big-time thing in American culture. Maybe he saw the same thing for kind of physical training. Maybe he went back there because he realized that, you know, there's injuries that can be dealt with, and if I can coach players and treat their injuries, I can be that much farther ahead. He had a football back injury, like one of his first football practices at KU. He never played football again after that. And that kind of got him interested in alternative medicine because some osteopathy techniques helped him out. And so that's kind of why he ended up going down that path. But it's not clear if he did it because he wanted to get back into basketball or because he was trying to change careers. But regardless, he ended up coming back to athletics shortly thereafter.
You mentioned that at the time, and it's hard to believe now, but basketball coaches were not very well paid. What were some of the other ways that Fog Allen supplemented his income?
Yeah, in the early years, he actually, you know, when he was a real young coach, he coached at three different colleges. I think he may have been volunteered at Haskell Institute there in Lawrence while he was coaching at KU and at Baker. And then he also worked at a grocery store, at his family grocery store, and he probably made more money doing that than he did actually coaching basketball. But then as he got older in the 20s, when he became kind of, a national treasure, when everybody knew his name and he was kind of the face, he'd become the face of basketball. He still wasn't making a lot of money, and the Depression hit, and so he had to kind of go out and find some other ways. And so he started marketing a Fog Allen shoe. He marketed a medicine, like a medicine book about, how to do physical training. He started a game called Go High, which was kind of like basketball, but he was hoping it was a game that people could play in their backyards where there was kind of a movable basket. So he tried all sorts of things to try and make money, and he actually he did enough that during the Depression he was able to kind of stay afloat while people like James Naismith were really struggling financially.
In 1924, he even tried his hand at writing. He wrote a book called My Basketball Bible.
He ended up writing three different books over the course of the next 20 years or so. And yeah, he wrote My Basketball Bible kind of as an introduction to people of how to coach basketball, how to put on a basketball event. It really kind of, it pretty much was everything he thought about basketball. He put down on paper how players should eat, how to treat injuries, how to run a practice, how to run a game, all that kind of stuff.
Not only did he tell them what to eat, but how to eat it. One of the things that I thought was really funny about his basketball Bible was that he even gave instruction on how to properly peel an orange.
Yes. Yes. For all of his wonderful characteristics, Fog Allen also had some pretty interesting personality traits. And I think he became so, things were happening for him, and he became such a big part of the sport that he became a spokesman in so many ways that he thought he was, in some ways, bigger than he was. And so he kind of, he would teach people how to do the most rudimentary things. Like eating an orange, he would, he would help them with diet. He had these big yeast tablets that he created that had, yeast and something else in them that he basically would kill bacteria and basically would fend off all sickness. And he basically carried those around with him, gave them to his grandkids and gave them to his children and all that stuff. And he kind of, between all he knew about medicine and all he knew about basketball, I think he got to this point where he felt like the smartest man in the room, and he kind of felt like a know-it-all. And so he was the kind of guy who would, tell you how to peel an orange and how to hold your fork and stuff like that.
And he was also justifiably proud of his physique.
Yes, there were some, there's a legend that apparently when he played golf at the Lawrence Country Club, he would always take his shirt off, even in his 50s and 60s, just so he could show off his physique. And when he was, I think about in his 50s, when he was coaching, near the end of his coaching career, he had come up with this foot arch roller. It was basically a roller that could loosen the muscles on the arch of your foot. And there are stories about how he, when he was showing people how to use it, he would, get in front of a room, and sometimes he would take off his shirt just to show off his physique and start rolling it. And so there were a few stories of people walking by a classroom and seeing this shirtless old man, on his back with his feet up in the air, rubbing a thing on his foot. And they were kind of like, what in the world is that guy doing in there? But he was definitely a quirky man, and very proud of his body, very proud of his mind. And so you can kind of see, if you throw in, the guy who thinks he's the smartest man in the room, the guy who's really proud of his physique, you can kind of see why he rubbed people the wrong way, and why maybe people in the administration at KU, he started to ruffle their feathers kind of later in his career.
Scott, in your afterword, you said that writing this book was both a joy and a frustration. How so?
It was, it was a huge joy for a lot of reasons. The biggest joy was that, my grandfather played for Fog Allen. And so throughout this process, I kind of felt him on my shoulder watching me do this. And I knew this was something that he would have been really passionate about. So that was part of it. And I also, I just love writing. So I love telling stories. And there were so many stories in there. The frustrating part was there were so many parts of Fog's life that had never been documented. And to truly have a little bit of kind of rhythm to a book, you've kind of got to hit all the marks of his life. He wrote, like I said, he wrote three books, so there's certain stories that he told a lot. But there were also some really important things that happened in his life, like his mother dying and his oldest son dying when he was a teenager, that he didn't really ever talk about. So the hard part was kind of trying to figure out how to flush those in and bring those in. And I didn't want to make it a book about here's all the stories that Fog Allen loved to tell. I wanted to make it a story about all of the stories that make Fog Allen who he was. And so that was really hard to try and, find some of those nuggets that he didn't really talk about and find a way to kind of tell those stories without a whole lot of information. So in a lot of ways, it was kind of frustrating. But in the end, I think that's the part I was most proud of, was that I was able to kind of research that stuff and make it flow and really tell his entire life story from birth to death.
Scott Moreau Johnson is the author of Fog, the Most Influential Man in Basketball. Thank you so much for joining us today, Scott.
Thanks, Kay. You take care.